Nurture and support. Nurture and support. This is a podcast theme song. And it's really short.
Nurture and support begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Nurture and Support, a recommendation podcast, episode number 136. I'm Kelly Toole at K-E-L-L-Y-T-H-U-L on Twitter.
And I'm Mel at Karmic9 on Twitter.
We're back for another week of fun, likely podcast recommendations so that you can listen to other things instead of us. But no, actually, tonight I'm not doing a podcast recommendation. How about you, Mel?
Nope. I've gone back to an old standby for tonight. So
cello music. So we're going to another big cello music night.
Possible.
Well, so this is an old standby show because I, too, am going back to an old standby and recommending something by an artist you may be familiar with who goes by the name of Alice Cooper.
So uh-oh.
Mel and I were chatting a little bit before we started recording how it's getting a little confusing because we've got Squat Cobbler going along, they do with Mike and Nurture and Support, and sometimes Mel joins us on Squat Cobbler. Mike joins us on Nurture and Support, so different things kind of happen there. But what gets even more tricky now is this is the first time I've had to go through this configuration when a new Alice Cooper album comes out, because Mike and I are busily chewing our way through all the Alice Cooper albums, reviewing each one, and we're going to do a special Squat Cobbler talking about his new release, which will be my recommendation for today, Paranormal. And I think by the way this timing works out, I'll get my recommendation out for it before Mike and I do our kind of full review. So for the detailed review of Paranormal, be sure to tune into the special Squat Cobbler, but I will be talking a little bit about it in general terms today, but I can't recommend it strongly enough. I am a very big Alice Cooper fan, as anyone who listens knows. And not since the days of Brutal Planet and Dragontown have I enjoyed. I've liked every Alice Cooper album that's come out over the past few years, but this one's something special. It's really kind of enjoyable top to bottom. He involved originally the Alice Cooper was a group. It was the name of a group, and it was the name of the lead singer. And the original Alice Cooper group broke up, and Alice Cooper, the lead singer, went off on a solo career in around 1975. Well, he's brought back the surviving members. There's one guitarist who's passed away, Glenn Buxton, but Dennis Dunaway, Michael Bruce, and Neil Smith from the original group have come back and joined him on this album in kind of some different capacities. It is actually a 2-CD set. There are 2 volumes to this if you get it digitally. There's Paranormal and then the bonus disc for Paranormal. Paranormal, the album, is 10 songs long, and it's basically solo Alice Cooper, although there are 2 songs written by Dennis Dunaway, who's the bass player for them, and 1 song that's actually performed by the Alice Cooper group largely, plus a couple other players as well. And then the second disc includes 2 songs that were written by members of the Alice Cooper band, performed by the original Alice Cooper band, and then about, I think, 7 live songs with Alice's current touring group. So there's a lot of content on this, but it is strong. There's no theme. A lot of times Alice albums have a theme or a storyline to it. This is just really, really good rock and roll. I'm a little, some of these will be spoilers to my full review with Mike. On the bonus CD, the first song is called All American Girl. And originally, the idea was written by Neil Smith, the drummer from the original Alice Cooper group, was going to be a song about a genuine American girl. And Alice said, or we could make it about me. And so it's Alice singing about being a genuine American girl. So it sounds suspiciously like it could fit into the musical Hairspray as far as the song in a way. If Alice Cooper were to show up in Hairspray and sang a song, it would sound like this, I think. So, but it's actually a real earworm, really, really catchy and kind of fun. But there's just a ton of really super fun stuff to listen to. And I've recommended Alice Cooper albums to you before, Mel. I would take the time to kind of get through this one because it's some really great rock and roll, a couple very interesting turns. The drummer from U2 is the drummer for the extent of this album. And the gentleman plays some pretty powerful drums, and so that's pretty cool to see here. I'm going to get this probably wrong here. Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top also makes a guest appearance on one song. So it's all super cool. And again, this will be a spoiler from our broader review, but I got to share this one with you, Mel, because this has been my biggest takeaway from the album. There's a song called Fallen in Love. And as I was looking through the track list, I go, boy, I'm a little bit worried. Is this going to be like the power ballad or, you know, what's it going to be? But, you know, Alice discovered what has been in front of us for hundreds of years and no one has ever addressed, which is the chorus is, I've fallen in love and I can't get up. Just like, of course, this was the point to be made.
Yes.
But it's sung with gusto and bravado. And it's a very kind of clever, and it's the, you know, the kind of clever turns of phrase that have always endeared me to Alice Cooper. But I was listening to that song he did, I was like, how in the world could this have been out there as a phrase for this long and no one figured out? You know what would be pretty cool to tack on to that? I can't get up. So well played, Alice. Well played.
Yes.
So, like I said, I'm always going to be excited when a new Alice Cooper album comes out. I'm always going to like, very likely going to like it when a new Alice Cooper album comes out. But this one I really appreciate, and I'm excited to have people who may not be as familiar with him to listen to, because I think you'll find it really enjoyable music. The main CD, I guess, if you want to call it that, in particular is strong. The two new Alice Cooper Group songs, Genuine American Girl, like I mentioned, has got its quirks to it, but it's kind of fun. And then there's another kind of Who-like rocker that follows it. And then it goes into the live stuff, which is a pretty decent audio recording of some live. You know, it's the stuff you're used to hearing Alice Cooper sing, Billion Dollar Babies, Under My Wheels, School's Out, all that kind of good stuff. So a lot of good music. Oddly enough, upon initial release, I know most of our listeners probably don't do anything with physical media right now, but Best Buy, $9.99, I'm getting two CDs, Alice Cooper, when I had to make them go back to the stock room to get it, because the shelf was, I was like, well, where's it at? You said you had it, but they went and got it, but it was cheap if you're buying it physically. I'm fairly certain you might be able to find a similar discount on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you choose to get your streaming music, but it's a fun one. So Alice Cooper's Paranormal, check it out, and you will soon hear our good friend Mike and I go through it track by track in much more detail.
Yeah, I have to say, I have been catching up on some Squat Cobblers lately, so I feel closer to Alice than I've ever been before, except I don't think you guys really liked Raise Your Fist and Yell. Did I get the name right?
You got the name right.
That was a really good episode. I really, really enjoyed it. I particularly like Mike not liking the Vampire Hunter D version of the ripoff version of the cover. I have to agree. Any of our listeners, I'm sure, also listen to Squat Cobbler, but I've been behind and I've been catching up. So I really did enjoy that episode, I have to say.
And that doesn't even scare me that you're doing that, because we're always very kind to you on that. And I think you're quite often me musing how I miss you a lot when I'm trapped with Mike all the time.
Well, you know, I don't think I've ever heard you talk badly about anything Alice has done. So that was an experience for me. So
when we started on that venture from the very beginning, I go, hey, there's something coming up that I just got this huge problem with, and I can't entirely explain it, but I really don't like this. From my core, I don't like this album, which is unusual, but.
Yeah. It actually is one of the only albums I actually recognize the album cover of Alice's from when I was younger and it came out. I remembered that hand with the face in it that was a ripoff of Vampire Hunter D. So anyway. Love Vampire Hunter D, by the way. One of my first anime type of cartoons that I ever saw, and probably the first cartoon I ever saw nudity in. So there you go. There's a fun fact, everybody. Surprisingly enough, Vampire Hunter D is not my recommendation.
There's always time to change. You can switch.
Yes, I could, and there's a lot I could say, but, you know, my first experience of a naked chick in a cartoon, so it was odd, but... Oh, well. I'm not going to go there. I'm sure Mike will have more to say about that. My recommendation, going back to an old standby this week, is a book. And I'm going to tell you all about this book today because it's on sale. It's on the Kindle version, if you're an Amazon Kindle user, is on sale right now until September 4th for $2.99, which is a great price for this first book of a two-book series. This is called Six of Crows, and it's by Leigh Bardugo, and Leigh's first name is spelled L-E-I-G-H. This is technically a young adult fantasy. It is really, really cool, and it's actually, I think even Kelly would like it because the main character is a bad guy. He's kind of a bad guy. His name is Kaz Brecker. He is a criminal mastermind prodigy. He's very young. This being a young adult book, the main characters are all what we would consider teenagers, young adults, that sort of thing. Kaz has grown up on the streets. He has manipulated his way into a gang of thieves and cutthroats and is basically the second man in charge, but he really does everything because the guy in charge is incompetent. And Kaz is responsible at his incredibly young age for being ruthless enough to have taken this downtrodden ragtag group of thieves to one of the best gangs in the city. But that's not really what the story is about. That's just backstory for Kaz. Kaz has a secret plot going on. He's a very patient fellow. And he has been planning revenge on a certain other leader of a rival gang for years and years and years. Which actually turns out to be the purpose for all of this. But Kaz is the type of guy who doesn't let anything get in his way. Oh, like sentiment. You know, he's kind of ruthless. He doesn't let anybody divert him from his chosen path. So this is a fantasy world wherein this main city in a little country called Ketterdom, which is populated by merchants for the most part. It's on the sea. Shipping is their big thing. So there's a bunch of gangs, bunch of thieves, and a lot of money. There are also these mage-like people that in this universe, they're called Grisha. And this is based off Leigh Bardugo's first series was about them, was the Grisha universe. This is a wholly another story that can be consumed completely separately from the first trilogy that she wrote. So in essence, this is a heist book. It's a caper. And it's got a lot of humor in it, while also dealing with some dark, gritty issues of not to get anybody down, but slavery and prostitution and drug use. And one of the main characters has a significant gambling problem, but he's a sharpshooter, and he's actually one of my favorite characters in the book. His name is Jesper. But Kaz gets this group of six outcasts together to bust out a Grisha who has been sort of imprisoned in another country in a place called the Ice Court. This is a place that has never been breached ever in all of history. It's never been breached. But Kaz is a really good planner and he has a plan to get this person out and get really, really stinking rich in the meantime. So that is what this first book in the series is about, is gathering up his crew and heading off to the Ice Court to break this person out and bring them back to Ketterdom, basically to kind of sell them off to get the money so they can all be filthy rich. Kaz actually has another use for the money, but that will play itself out in time. The second book in the series is called Crooked Kingdom, and I checked the price. It's currently $9.99. on Kindle. So the $2.99 for Six of Crows is really good, but it's a really fun series. I think I read both books in the space of a weekend, and that's just how fast they move. The language used is just really, it's a fast read. It's fun. There's a lot of action going on, a lot of thieving, lots of stabbing people in the back, lots of conniving. It's really fun. and one of the best books I've read in the last year, I would have to say. So that is Six of Crows by Leigh Bardugo, who is tremendously fun, and there is a huge fan base for this book series, and her website is a Tumblr, and she basically reblogs all of these fan art and fan posts that all of the multitude of fans that post all this stuff on Tumblr, she reposts all that. And it's her involvement in that community was one of kind of the draws that made me see this book and decide to give it a read, because I didn't know about it when it first came out. But I'd heard about it and heard about it, and it has a really cool cover with a crow's wing on the front. The covers are really cool. Just going to have to look at them. Or look at the blog post. When I put this up, I'll have the cover of the book, and you can see for yourself how cool it is. But it's really awesome. She is L. Bardugo on Tumblr, and you can check out some of her posts. I just think it's really awesome when any creator has that kind of involvement with their fans. It's just really, it's really good. It's really cool. They take the good and the bad and help spread the love. She's really involved in the community around this book, and I really love it. So that is Leigh Bardugo. Book is Six of Crows. It's a two-book series. It's $2.99 right now until September 4th. So go check it out.
So I've got multiple statements and questions to go through.
Okay. On this.
So first of all, the main statement is for folks listening to Nurture and Support, for a mere $13, Mel and I have served up to you a tremendous amount of entertaining, some amazing music, and a great book. $3 for the book, $10 for Alice if you get the CD. That's cost-effective funds. So that's yes. One statement. So I wanna just remind you folks that's some good stuff for not a whole lot of money. And so I'm interested, but I've always started to tread lightly in the teen world since, shall we call it, the Gotham incident that we won't go into detail at this point in time. But I've always tread lightly now due to the Gotham incident. But this does sound pretty cool, and so I'll have to dig into it. But I've got to assume it's the ice court is. Uh-huh. So I assume they freeze your assets when they take you into the ice court, first of all. So I wanted to
see. They do.
I figured they do that. And I'm guessing this is a world without hair dryers or driveway salt. Okay.
Yes, well. I never came across any use of salt in the books. So.
Okay. That'll be good. Well, glad I didn't give a spoiler. So that'll be pretty cool to see. But it actually does, that does sound pretty cool. And you say it's independent of the first series, but would you, in maybe going through this, would it give you some indication that, oh, wow, maybe I do want to go back and go through that first series?
Yeah, that's what it did for me. I had seen the first series out, but I don't read a whole lot of YA. I used to read more. I don't read as much right now for some reason. I don't know why. But it made me go back, and I actually do have that the first series, the first trilogy. I just haven't read them yet because I got lots of things to worry about. And Kelly keeps giving me Alice Cooper things to listen to. And so I have all these podcasts and Alice Cooper to listen to. So I am way behind on my reading. But yeah, it's, you know, I would like to say that Kaz rivals Walter White, only, you know, I don't think he's quite as depraved as Walter White became. But, you know. He's kind of got those qualities of, you know, underneath all of that, you think he at one time was a good guy. And now it's not so sure how much good is left in him. But he does know how to pull off a heist. So
there you go. Sounds so. And yeah, I guess in my final statement, as you mentioned, if you're a Kindle user. So basically, we're all Kindle users because there's a Kindle app for about any device out there.
Right.
And you just got to secure the copy to do that. So even if you don't happen to have a Kindle, if you got a tablet, smartphone, or whatever, you can do that. So that's be the way I consume it.
Right. The Kindle app is free. So because Amazon loves to give stuff away for free if it sucks you in to using all of their products. So.
Yep. First one's free. that's their model.
Yep.
Excellent. Well, we will move. I like that a lot. And I you know, even though I have been, since Mel's being a team player and plugging through the Alice stuff, the least I can do is read a little more. So maybe I can get this and enjoy. How many pages are we talking here? Just prep myself.
The first book is like 400 and something pages, but like I said, it's a really fast read because there's always a lot going on, and they're funny. You know, when I say it's dark and gritty, it is dark and gritty, but there's a lot of humor in there too, of the interaction of these six people together. So it's really a fast read. Your mileage may vary, but it's a fast read.
Yeah. After surviving the last two, and I'm starting to believe they are the last two of the Ice and Fire series, because I don't know if we're ever going to see the next one, which those two clock in about 900 and 1,000 pages a piece. Right. I'm pretty bulletproof now, so 400 pages doesn't scare me because I've done worse. So cool. All right, well, we'll move into social media recommendations. I do have a recommendation for this week. This young lady did a Find Depressing Poem Start Today tweet. And so any of you who follow me on Twitter know I've got kind of like two hobbies I go through on a hashtag basis. And that is one, when there's a great band name, I like to kind of call that out. And the other thing is when I see a tweet that I feel would be a particularly strong start to a depressing poem, I'll tweet that back out with the depressing poem starts hashtag. And she had one of those today. And so I thought, make it a big red letter day for her, not only get a depressing poem start, but a recommendation on nurture and support for a follow. And it's Bex. The Brit Chick is her name. The handle is actually at Bex, B-E-X, Saunders, S-A-U-N-D-E-R-S, 7. So Bex Saunders with a U, 7. She is from Halifax, Nova Scotia, which I believe is in Europe, or possibly an island off of Australia, or maybe near Canada.
It's somewhere over there. I think it's kind of cold over there, too. Yeah,
I don't think they have any votes in the Electoral College. I'm fairly certain of that. So, she is from Halifax, Nova Scotia, and super funny. A lot of cool memes from her. And like I said, nice and fun on Twitter, interactive, does some hashtag games, and comes across some pretty cool stuff. And she's a fun follow, good addition to your timeline. So Bex the Brit Chick, Bex Saunders 7 is my social media recommendation on Twitter for this week.
Cool. Well, I also have a social media recommendation. As I've mentioned before, I have taken up the recent hobby of Instagram. So I actually have followed this account since I opened an Instagram. I left my Instagram cold and lonely for a very long time until recently, which reintroduced me to this account, which I really love because it's so sweet and also sad at the same time. It is at DSWT. On Instagram. They're also at the same handle on Twitter. But what that stands for is the David Sheldrick Wildlife Trust. What they are is basically a little elephant orphanage in Kenya. Everybody has seen those little pictures of the little baby elephants with the little bright blankets on their backs. And most of those come from DSWT. You can actually foster the little baby elephants if you want to. But their Instagram, it's not sad. It's very cute and very sweet. They post videos of the little baby elephants, and a lot of times they're giving you stories of when a baby was rescued, because most of their mothers have been killed from poaching, or some of the babies they have found trapped in wells, trapped in traps, and either their herd has left them or their mother was killed. So they're all little baby orphans, and they take them in and they fix them up and put little blankets on them and bottle feed them and love them and hug them and give them little names and post pictures of them on Instagram. But it can take their purpose is not to keep these elephants as very large pets. Their purpose is to rehabilitate them and release them when they're old enough and able enough back into the wild. This process can take 10 years. Because elephants live an incredibly long time and they take a long time to mature. So they have various stages of how they move these babies up into different herd groups and family groups and things like that until they can actually be released. So they tell that story in their Instagram where they can put in, you know, four pictures. They'll give you pictures of them as a baby when they were rescued and then throughout their life into, you know, now they're close to being able to be released. And it's just really sweet. It gives me hope that there are decent people in the world out there protecting little baby elephants and bottle feeding them. So that's my social media, at DSWT on Instagram or Twitter, if you prefer.
So cool recommendation, and that's definitely one of it. So is their Twitter presence mostly kicking you back to Instagram? Is there?
No, they're actually doing separate posts on Twitter. I only recently followed them on Twitter to kind of see how they were handling the same information on Twitter. And mostly the Twitter info is sending you to an article, which so Instagram, you can get most of the same information by just swiping, you know, through the pictures on one post. And then the little videos will autoplay in Instagram. So you can hear the little babies making little cooing noises at their keepers. It's so cute. And their little blankies. So anyway, there's nothing cuter than little baby elephants, except maybe little baby pandas. So.
Yeah, we maybe our next tournament we have will be something who has the cuter babies or something like that. But the social media has been kind to elephants here recently. I recall, and this was about a week ago, a lot of tweets about how awesome elephants were, and I eventually saw the video clip, which I don't know if you had a chance to see it, where the one elephant was kind of stuck. There was a smaller elephant stuck in a body of water, and bigger elephant was kind of looking at him and goes, all right, gets in and kind of pushes him out. And
Elephants are just, they're so smart and they're so caring to their family groups. It's just, it's amazing to see, and us egotistical people a lot of times just have trouble recognizing that animals can have that much sophistication. So elephants are pretty cool and pretty unique. DSWT also deals a lot with rhinos. They help everything, but primarily what they're known for is the elephant orphanage. So they do good work.
Yeah, and it's important to do what they can to protect rhinos, given some of the stuff that goes on with the rhino population.
Right.
And with the additional problem that not so cute. Rhinos not so cute. Maybe not so friendly either, but still an animal that's having to face stuff it shouldn't have to face. So
yeah. They do lots of work. They don't, you know, they're not always just out there looking for orphans. When they get reports of one that's been injured, they mobilize their team to go out and treat ones that can just be treated and released. And so, you know, they're not just looking to hoard little baby African animals in their orphanage. They're out there doing what they can to keep the wild population out there wild. So they do really good work. And, you know, we're getting close to the holidays. You can foster a little baby elephant for your family for the holidays. So
can you name them?
I think most of them already have names. I didn't look that far to see, but it's on my list of things to try to get my family to do this holiday season instead of buying more meaningless crap. So anyway, it's only August and here I am talking about the holidays. Pretty soon though, we're going to have Christmas stuff in the stores. So
the Halloween stuff's already showing up and it's August, you know, just the beginning of August. It's not good. All right. Well, on that uplifting commercial note, I think we're going to wrap it up for today. So appreciate everybody listening, and I can't even be mean. I want to be mean to him, again today. And I can't bring myself to do it, but, you really kind of took the wind out of my sails there, Mel.
Yes.
Well, here we go. So Alice Cooper, mentioned that paranormal, you kind of hear the name paranormal, you think, oh, it's about kind of spirits and ghosts and that kind of stuff. And he goes, well, actually, if you break the word down, paranormal is just basically beyond normal. And that was kind of, he said, if there's any theme to this stuff, it's that. And so when I think about beyond normal, I think about a good friend, Matt, who's now going to give you all the information on how you can connect with us on the various platforms and chat with Mel and I and stay connected and all that good stuff. So Matt will give you all the information. And I'd like to say thanks for listening, everybody.
See you next time.
You can contact us on our website, nurtureandsupport.net. Or email us at nurtandsup@gmail.com. That's nurtandsupp@gmail.com. Or tweet us at nurtandsup on Twitter.
Nurturing and supporting.